for Monday, September 12th, 2016. Has been our tradition for many, many years. I'd like to invite everyone to join us in the recitation of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our first item on the agenda is the approval of the regular meeting minutes from August 27th.
Motion to approve.
I saw one little typo.
Sure. She's got a new set out, too.
I know, and I will see Cassie, but on page 3, where it says Mayor Williams asked if Ms. Kreider for the paragraph under B, see how the I is an L? That's because he's got all those L's in that name, in the I's. See where it says W-L-L-L-I-A-M-S?
Yep,
I had to look at it twice, and then I'm like, no, that isn't L.
Do you see it? Because yes.
Very good. Your eyesight is doing fine. Thank you. Is there any other corrections or amendments to the meeting minutes? No. All right, we have a motion to approve the minutes as corrected by Council Member Paul. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much. Please let the record show that the motion passed unanimously and that all council members are here. Okay. Now, item 2 is a motion to approve a supplemental letter of agreement with the State Highway Administration for an estimated $15,000 to be invoiced going to winter 2016-17. And what this is basically for is the salt that is used on the highways whenever we have snow or ice. We buy it in bulk ahead of time. It's right here and immediately on site. And the price, I don't think it's changed, but we're all done. And we put it to good use in the last few winters. We used about every bit of it.
I believe there was a slight adjustment in this, the state highway overhead. Is that
the
correct?
The overhead fee was 0.2% increase.
0.2? Okay.
But, I mean, this is like an estimate, right? If we need more, we get more.
Exactly. They only charge us for what we use.
Okay. Can we have a motion to approve the agreement to buy salt, road salt, for the treatment of the highways during ice and snowstorms? To be up to the amount of $15,000. The motion was made by Council Member Burrell. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much. Motion passes unanimously. Next is a motion to approve the waiver of the permitting fees for the new police department, which totals all the fees put together, a total of $50,169, and include permit and permit review and impact fees and EBU fees. So just to give you an idea, if this was a private sector project, that would be how much the fees would be based on our current code. Do you have any questions or discussions regarding the waiver? Okay. We have a motion by Council Member Burrell to approve the waiver for the fees for the new police department. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Also passing the minutes. Next are resolutions. First is resolution 2016-14, and this is basically an agreement with the Worcester County Health Department that allows them to immediately act if there is any threat and they have any evidence or any threat possibly caused by the we just generally call it Zika virus. And we don't know of any imminent threat, but I think this is an abundance of caution. and it also allows everything to automatically go into place as soon as they have any indication, an additional spraying for this potential disease virus, this action virus.
So, Mayor, even though this is a resolution, it's kind of like a memo of understanding between the county and us, at least we do need to do this.
Yes,
yes, it is. The way this was set up, the county commissioners, they passed a resolution about a month ago. Under the county code, they have a mechanism where they would have to vote that there's a health emergency. So in order, what they've done that ahead of time. And there are three instances when the health department determines that there's a Zika danger. And if the health department determines that those conditions exist in a certain area of the county commissioners have already determined that that constitutes an emergency. Because otherwise, they have, like us, they meet every 2 weeks. They have to meet. Now, we had to do the same thing because, number one, the health department wouldn't come on to into town. So we have to authorize that. And we have, what this resolution says is that the council has also determined that a civil emergency under our code exists if one of those three instances occurs. So the health department can act immediately without waiting for us to have a meeting 2 weeks later.
Or emergency meeting. Yeah. It basically means instant response.
Yeah. Okay.
Can I go ahead then and make a motion to approve the resolution declaring, resolution 2016-14, declaring a civil emergency exists if certain criteria are met, and authorizing Worcester County Health Department to abate said emergency prevent the spread of the
Zika
virus in the town of
Broad. Okay, we have a motion to basically authorize the Worcester County Health Department to take any emergency actions necessary in case to prevent the spread of the Zika virus if, in fact, such a situation occurs. A motion made by Councilmember Hall. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All in favor. Okay, unanimous again. Good. All right. Next are our departmental reports. First, Finance Director Natalie Lee.
Good evening, everyone. Just a quick update. We're continuing implementing the Tyler. We are in a stage of moving forward with miscellaneous receivables and property tax receivables module. That module will be combined together, and Rondell Weiss will be responsible for overseeing the process for billing of property tax and the miscellaneous invoices. Before, we had a split process. One software was responsible for property tax and QuickBooks, which is a different kind of simple use software, was responsible for miscellaneous receivables. And those two before were kind of reconciled manually, paper pencil, put in together and imported into the Logix. Now that's going to be eliminated. Everything's going to be done through one module, through printing the invoices, billing, sending the invoices, reporting the payments, and it's going to be a phase of a time. Basically, if somebody comes in downstairs and pays for the business license, for example, it's going to be reflected immediately on the account at the point of time a person pays for it.
So it's real time.
It's real time.
Next.
That's probably going to take a couple of months. We're just in the initial stage of it. So probably end of November, we'll be able to give a detailed update of how's it going and where we stand with everything.
Now, I know for some time, because obviously this has been planned a long time and was budgeted the previous year from this past year. And
right.
Is, I think in your original, at least the last I remember, the implementation period was basically considered probably primarily from June until like November, December. Is that still?
We're still on a time frame. We didn't slow down. We kind of pushed a little bit a week behind for the utility billing. We just felt like we needed a little bit more time to go over every single account in more details. But so far, we're on a schedule that we planned. And miscellaneous receivable and property was the last step. And then we have two little projects that are scheduled to be done in December, which will be a project accounting and budget accounting. For the project accounting, it's going to be basically assigning the numbers to every single project that's going on in the town of Berlin. For example, our Berlin Falls Park will have separate numbers, so we can charge all the expenses, we can allocate the salaries and overhead and see how much we are contributing towards development of the Berlin Falls Park. Budget accounting is going to be available for every department head, and where we were using Excel spreadsheets and everybody would just pencil the numbers roughly, they should be able to get into the software and request that budget. Then it would go for review and then adjusted numbers, and then we should be able to run a report to see what initially was requested, what was adjusted, and what was adopted in the end. So going into fiscal 18, we will have a little bit of different process for the budget, but I'm certainly hoping it's going to be the best change. Better than
a significant, at least right. Measurable or noticeable improvement as we do the budget process. We don't have to wait.
Right.
One quick question, Allie. Assigning a number to a project like Berlin Falls, will you be able to do that also for like Dollar General, Royal
yes.
Farms?
Any capital project that, or not capital project, it could be, let's say if we have a major road repair, a street repair, which eventually will be capitalized, but for right now it's a construction in progress, we still will be able to assign a number and charge the expenses under specific
that
project.
That would be very helpful to you too.
And yes, and that's kind of pushed to the end of the calendar year just because we put in the priorities things and that kind of fallen into a little bit lower priority than everything else, but eventually will be implemented. Meanwhile, today is the first day for the audit. Tomorrow, auditors will be here all day long through this week, and probably by the next meeting, I will give an update where we stand. How much they're able to finish. I'm hoping everything goes smooth, but it will be a little bit probably difficult, more complicated, I should say, than prior year, because we're looking at both softwares, the old legacy and now the new one.
But generally speaking, you expect the audit report to be
the same time.
Before November or early December.
November, beginning of December.
Very good. Thank you. Anyone have any questions for Natalie? All right, next is the Administrative Services Director, Mary Baldwin.
There is a new page on our website which will provide updates on town projects. And these are projects that the town specifically is undertaking, not general projects going on in the town. For instance, we'll have updates on there regarding the police department, but it wouldn't involve updates regarding, say, a development project. That is more or less ready to go. We just have to provide the last couple of ongoing projects, put the details up on the site.
You think that's going to be in place, let's say, within the next couple of weeks?
It's up and active now. I just have one project on there at the moment. I just run kind of the summary of a couple of things past the engineers to make sure that what I'm stating is an accurate statement. Right. And then that will also include pictures, and hopefully we'll be able to provide information on a really kind of day-by-day basis if that's what's needed.
That includes sidewalks?
Yes, it will include, for instance, the Branch Street sidewalk, the West Street storm drain project, any of those types of projects. Parks Commission meeting was postponed last week and will be held tomorrow evening at 5:30 in the conference room.
Anybody have any questions for Dr. Mary?
Just a comment. Since James not here, and Mary did talk about the town projects, I would encourage folks to take a look at what's going on behind the multi-purpose building over on Flower Street. That project is really involved and massive. It's a lot going on, and it's
just something to see.
It is. There are a few pictures up on the website right now of that project, but they don't really, pictures never quite give you the scale of something.
Since Steve brought that up, I had a question asked by a resident. They wanted to know where all the dirt was going.
That actually was discussed in the progress meeting that we held last week with the contractor. Based on recommendations from Roman Jensen, who you all know we've worked with through the, I believe he's with the Coastal Bays program. He made some suggestions to, for lack of a better word, sort of alter the topography a little bit, make it a little more kind of hilly. We're not talking about massive things. These would just be inches or a foot or so. So a lot of the dirt that was going to be removed from the site is actually now going to be put back in to implement those suggestions. So that isn't 100%, or it wasn't as of the progress meeting last week, but that was kind of where they were leaning to go with that.
One of the comments that was suggested at the public meeting.
Exactly.
That we make sure that the water doesn't stand.
Right.
That it at least moves gradually.
Yeah. Right.
If I could just jump in, yeah, I was talking to Darla about this today. So what we're looking at doing is adding some of those, I guess you call them sort of mounding features as a way of reducing any or eliminating any kind of mosquito issues. This was a recommendation from Coastal Bay. So we're trying to figure out how to do that, but then increasing the cost of the project. So Darrell's just looking at how we can shift a few things around so that it doesn't increase the overall cost, but it would address the concerns that was expressed that were expressed at the meeting regarding mosquitoes and mosquito-borne issues and things of that nature. So.
But we're talking about mounds that would be inches.
Right, the word they used was hillocks.
Not steep.
Right.
Hillocks.
H-I-L-L-O-C-K-S, I believe.
So right now, Darrell's in the process of doing a little sketch or design so that I can take a look at what it would look like, and he's going to be trying to get some photos so I can give you guys a sense of what it's going to be. Because the appearance will look a little bit different. But part of what I heard from those community meetings was an interest in making sure there was as little standing water as possible. And so this change in the design should facilitate that.
But we're talking inches.
Yes.
Not feet.
Right. It creates a more natural topography in the end. And, you know, we are flat here on the Eastern Shore, so our topography doesn't vary by too much.
So right then they're stockpiling that dirt at the site?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. Good question. All right. Any other questions for Mary? Next, so of course, Jane is here tonight. So now we'll go to electric utility director, Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have a few things to report. 301 Washington Street, that's the Arctic Air location. We're relocating an overhead pole line in that area. There's an old metal building that right at that property is going to be demolished. Arctic Air, Russell Queen, bought the property. So he's asked us to relocate the pole line that's in front of there so they can tear it down and put a new building in. And also, most of you are aware that there was a big tree that broke up at the museum property in the front property. We ended up having to remove the entire tree, which we removed the stump, and then also we removed the stump of the battle memorial. And also there was a dead tree up here at the corner of Pitt Street, which we ended up removing it also.
So all three have been taken care of?
They're all three removed, and the stumps have been removed also. And then a couple other projects is, 414 West Street, which is the, I think it's a t-shirt printing shop down on West Street. We had a power outage down there. One of our transformers failed. We had to replace that. And then also, up on the screen there, you'll see some pictures of the touch truck event, which was this past Saturday. Turned out really well. We had a really good attendance. A lot of the parents spoke to me about the event. Said they really liked it, thought it was very educational for the children that attended it. like to thank the fire department and the police department for participating in it, and also Purdue Farms was there. They participated in it, and Sunrise Church, they supplied the food at no charge during the event. So it turned out to be a really great event. The only problem was it was really hot. It was hot.
You don't have any connections in that?
No, I can't control that. But it's a really nice event, and citizens of Berlin really liked it. And I know the children loved it. They had a great time. A couple of other things we're working on. This is things that are coming up. Over at the power plant, we have to perform relay testing. Waiting for the heat shaping to finish. So we're going to be doing that the first week in October. That is a requirement from the town's insurance company. And then also, there's a breaker that you're aware of, the 1949 breaker that we're going to be replacing. That'll be somewhere in the mid-October range in that area. And also, we had an air tank issue on number 5 engine, which I'm dealing with that now. We may end up having to replace the air tank. All the engines started off air, and these tanks are fairly old, so might end up having to replace them.
Now, noticed in the weekly reports, how many days of generation are we up to now?
That's one big thing I wanted to talk about. As of today, we ran a total of 22 times.
Wow.
Most we've ever ran that I know of in the 6 years I've been here is 13. This is a very unusual summer. It's been really, really hot. We are not the only utility running that. There's a lot of them out there. And the highest peak actually occurred on August 11th between the hours of 3 and 4. And so the second highest peak was on July 25th between the same hours. So three of the five peaks occurred during August, and two of them occurred during July. I'm hoping with this weather cooling down that we won't have to run again anymore this year.
Thank you.
Okay.
And that, of course, will all be reflected in next year when we get our credits from the Pennsylvania.
That's correct. 2017. You'll see that. They'll come back in the form of reduced capacity and transmission.
And I'm not asking you to do it. I need to hear, but is it reasonable to expect that you probably hit most, if not all, of these?
Yes.
Yes. Good.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You forgot your highlights.
Yeah.
I think I was going to let you
hear that.
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
I thought it would be a little awkward.
Thank you.
Okay, sure.
The question. The replacement breaker that Tim talked about,
is this the replacement breaker you're referring to?
Yes, it was actually approved during the budget process. Money is in there and it's to be able to replace. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions for Tim? Next, please, Chief Arnold Bell.
We're back to school. We'd like to go ahead and advise everybody to keep an eye out for the buses and our pedestrians going to and from school. We had the opportunity at the Berlin Police Department to give over 100 back-to-school bags out on the Friday prior to school. We still do have supplies to give out to any other families that are in need or just wish to go ahead and have some additional supplies. We also made that offer to Buckingham and the BIS if any teachers are in need of any school supplies, that we do still have some extra. We also had opportunity to go ahead and provide 3 boxes of office supplies to Doran Purnell, who put on a wonderful program at Buckingham Intermediate School. We're giving free parent classes Sunday before school. So we go ahead and tell Mr. Doran Purnell to keep doing the good work that he does. And again, it really lets the kids be sharp and ready for school, so we're really, really proud of that. We, as the police department, welcome our new canine paneling team, which graduated on Friday, PFC Aaron Titterance and Canine Cyrus. So you should be seeing them in the next couple of days riding. They actually had their first foray with a touch of truck.
Can I say the canine's name again?
Cyrus.
Cyrus, okay. Thank you.
C-Y-R-U-S?
That is correct.
Thank you.
We had, the last couple days, we've had just outpouring of support from the community. We were hosted, us and the Berlin Fire Department, by Berlin First Baptist, and they did a wonderful picnic for us, and again, it was greatly appreciated by the police department. On Sunday, Sunrise Church up to provide emergency services Sunday, and invited us all to their three services, and it was just a wonderful time. Again, when a community stops and prays for you, it's really appreciated. It's very humbling. So we say thank you to them. Now we ask for more prayers because it is Bike Week. And right now, loads of them are already in Ocean City, and we expect that the whole crowd for the whole week. So again, keep an eye out for the motorcycles on the road. Last but not least, we had an opportunity to go ahead and meet a new neighbor, Coastal Early Learning Center, which is right out of town. We stopped in and others spoke to them about signing up for Code Red and to go ahead and have a little connection. In case we have any lockdown schools, we're going to definitely keep in contact with them. And again, I think they're going to really add to our community, and they're going to be good partners also.
Well, I think it makes sense where they're literally across the street from Stephen Cato Middle School. They're on the edge.
There.
Right on the edge. And quite frankly, I think it's going to be proper and just good citizenship and good neighbors to extend that Code Red to them as well. They're all kids. They're all there for good reasons, for their education. And who knows, 40, 50 years from now, where the county line will be in that neighborhood. It won't be something I think we'll have to deal with. But, you know, it makes sense. I'm glad you all reached out.
And I didn't forget the thanks to Victorian Charm and Brave for giving us cash assistance with the Back to School project. And wish your youth and the Sage Girls for helping us pack all the bags. So again, thank you to them.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Next is Planning Director Dave Englehart.
I have nothing new to add this evening, Mr. Mayor.
All right, thank you. And next is Managing Director Jeff Lee.
Mayor and Council, I have three things to share with everyone. The 27th of September at 10 a.m. upstairs here, we're hosting a flu clinic. So any employee that's on the town, on the town's health insurance or any of their dependents, it's no cost. Come up here at 10 o'clock and it'll be done. Or you can do as you've done in the past, you go to Rite Aid. There's no charge if you're on the town's insurance. That's any time that you want to go to Rite Aid, but the 27th here. The 28th, assuming everything, I'm about 99% sure anyway that on the 28th that Anderson Fence will be over at Cannery Village. The last three units or the first three units, you go in on the left-hand side, that fence will be installed at White Bonnell, White Bonnell Fence. We've met with the contractor and we've got it.
When do you think that will start?
28th.
This month?
Yes.
Great.
Thank you. And on the 29th, that day, I actually had a few of the auditors coming in to audit our mental state retirement system to make sure we've got everybody enrolled, the figures are right. They do this about every few years.
Any questions for Jeff?
Thank you.
Any questions for Jeff? Ready? Now we have the town administrator's report.
I have a few items for you tonight. First of all, let's start with the purchase orders. I've got our requisitions. Requisition number 130, Criswell Chevrolet for two Chevy Tahoes for the police department, totaling $69,900. This was an item that was in the budget. Requisition 132 for Electric Power Incorporated replacement breaker for $118,941, also was in the budget. Requisition 147, Goody Hill Groundwork Incorporated, water and sewer installation for the police department. This was the lowest of the two bids that we received for $14,000. Requisition 148, Intercoastal Trading Incorporated for chemicals and soda ash, $50,000, just a standard purchase that we have for our water utility. And requisition 153, Davis Bowen and Fidel for project inspection and contract management for $20,400. With the submerged gravel wetland that's associated with the work that we're doing on the Branch Street sidewalks, we're recommending that we spend a little extra money and make sure that the submerged gravel wetland is installed properly. And the best way we believe to do that would be to have Davis, Bowen, and Fridell do a little extra review and work, and that would cost about $20,000
more. And it's not with the registry.
Yes, correct.
In a minute, right? What location? You know what the location is?
The submerged gravel wetland is on property. We had talked to the church about using a portion of their, we have an easement, but we want to make sure that it's installed correctly. And so Jean wasn't able to make it tonight, so she asked me to handle this. So that's our recommendation. What happened is, this wasn't something that was technically included as part of the budget, but the more that we got into the project, the more we felt that it would be sensible to have the additional review. And so what would happen is we would do some adjustments probably in some of the other things that we would be accomplishing this year. But given the nature of the project, we're recommending that we take this extra step.
I think also it shows good faith on both parts of the church of granted the easement, especially once they found out what it was all about. And I think if we're going to, you know, doing something new like the stormwater system, that we'll make sure we do it right the first time so that it continues to be supported in our community. So.
Traveling all the water in the right direction.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, motion.
I think there's a question.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to make a comment. You may recall back in the late spring, early summer, I was the one that made the request that we upgrade the from the police Ford interceptors to the Tahoes. Now, I found an article in August where they've recalled over 90,000 of these Ford interceptors.
Thank you very much.
So we all made a great decision. I just want to thank the mayor and council for
thank you for bringing it to our attention.
Absolutely. Wow. Can't wait to see them in.
Make a motion that will approve all those
five requisitions.
Okay, we have a motion from Councilmember Brittingham to approve all five requisitions as recommended by the town administrator. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The record shows unanimous decision.
Ivy wasn't able to join us tonight. She's got a meeting in Baltimore later on this week. But she asked me to pass on the following regarding new businesses. So over the last several months, the following new businesses have opened in the town of Berlin. Patty Jean's Boutique on Broad Street. It's a clothing and accessory store. Berlin Farm Supply on Broad Street. Local foods and farm supplies. Brooklyn Baking Barons on Main Street behind the Visitor Center. It's a retail bakery. Gilbert's Provisions behind Booter Hill. In fact, I think they had their grand opening on Friday. It's a charcuterie, cheese, fermenting, and more. Swell, which is located inside Urban Nectar, offers coffee, dining, vintage LPs, and clothing. And Dharma Seeds, located inside Zen and Wellness, yoga clothing, and accessories. Opening soon, we have the Berlin Butcher Shop, Finn's Ale House and Raw Bar, and Fathom, which is a new clothing store once the old J.J. Fish building gets remodeled. So that's what's going on business-wise in Berlin.
Thank you.
And then I was asked to briefly give a summary of my trip to the Philippines. And so just indulge me for a few minutes. So for those of you who don't know, I was traveling recently in the Philippines for 2 weeks in a program sponsored by the State Department through the Young Southeast Asian Leadership Initiative. This was something that President Obama created to create closer ties between the United States and emerging leaders in Southeast Asia. So the focus of my presentation is really going to be on my time with CRISPA. So we could tell we were going to be welcomed very well when we saw the sign outside of the village that CRISPA's aunt is the mayor of, essentially. And you may recall that we did a similar thing for CRISPA and Zalika. We put a sign out welcoming them. So this was a sign that we were in for a very warm welcome and a wonderful time. This is CRISPA's family. You can see her father, her aunt, and her mother in the middle, myself, and CRISPA on the end. And on the other end is Dave Albo, her counterpart in the Philippines, and Ann Catlin. So Ann came from the United States. Yeah, Albany, Oregon specifically had hosted Dave. And so the four of us, Dave, CRISPA, Ann, and myself, traveled around. So this is right outside of her aunt's hotel where we stayed in the village. And this is CRISPA's team, and they just were thrilled to have the shirt. So CRISPA's assistant is on the left, and then the two drivers. So pretty much everybody in the Philippines, if you live in a semi-urban area, has a driver, which I thought was fascinating. We had several meetings with key government officials. These are folks on the upper left-hand side, local council members from the village of Panamon, which is the village that Christmas Aunt is the mayor of, as well as the Caramon National Park. Caramon is the location of Christmas Echo Challenge, or her community challenge, which was really focused on how do you balance the benefits of tourism but protect the natural beauty of the environment. And so that's the big thing she's been studying in this area. Just a few shots of village life. One of the things we did while we were there was hand out pencils, but we also handed out food to the local village children. And then in the lower right, I just want to give you a sense of what the natural beauty looks like in that area. The amazingly beautiful water. Replicating here. One is the floating building on the right. I love the idea of having some kind of like a nature center or meeting space that floats on our pond as a way of providing an opportunity for recreation or education programs to children, but also we could always use the meeting space. And what a great location if we had it floating out, out on the ponds. And also on the left, there was a tree walk. The upper parts of the trees where you just sort of walk along. It's kind of hard to see how high up we are, but you can tell by how nervous I look. It's pretty high up there. Yeah, up in the canopies of the trees. And this was something in particular Krisma had thought that we might be able to do here in the canopy of the trees that we have in our park as well. We had several meetings while we were there. I'm not going to list them all, but we did meet with local mayors in several communities. We met with U.S. government alumni associations from the YC Lee program. We met with several U.S. fellows. We met with Caramon local town government folks. Barangays are the smallest division of government in the Philippines, like villages. We met with several local barangay representatives, members of the federal government, protected area superintendents, and representatives of the Balusan Volcano National Park, in particular, the mayor from the local community there, Balusan. So this is just some photos of me talking and meeting with different people and talking some more. One of the highlights, I think, of the trip, in addition to the trip to the park, was we were asked to make a presentation to 160 planning students at the University of the Philippines. And these are just some pictures of myself, Ann from Albany, and then Mary Pat from Washington. This is kind of an interesting panel because this is a community of 4,500 people. Albany is a community of 50,000 people. And Mary Pat works for a regional planning agency in Washington State, which has about 8 million people. So just talking about the different planning issues across the spectrum of those size communities was really interesting. And then finally, after I left the Philippines, I went to Malaysia for a few days and caught up with Zalika, and she wanted me to let everybody know she said hi. Great. So that's just a brief summary.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Congratulations on a great trip.
Thank you.
I'm glad we were able to, you know, strengthen those ties for those young ladies and all those folks that they'll influence, because the world's shrinking, and I think it's great to have some people who not only know us, but that we can help each other. So great. Thank you. I wanted to note tonight that in the most recent issue of the American Municipal Power magazine, which they call Amplifier, one of the featured articles was on the town of Berlin. And they had the board of directors meeting here June, I believe, and which is, they try to visit members that are relatively new, and the profile was just very gratifying, very positive. They gave a very concise but very informative overview of the Berlin electric utility. They made note that Berlin's electric utility was recognized for its reliability as one of the most reliable municipal electric utilities in the nation, and that our average outage is 17 minutes compared to about a top 25%, usually up to an hour, and we're in the top of the top, and that is all very much a credit to two things. One, the leadership and the dedication of our electric utility employees. I have seen a significant and very rewarding increase in morale and pride in that group over the last several years. And I want to thank everyone on the council and all the citizens for really getting behind the electric utility, giving them encouragement, and I think that they are extremely dedicated folks, and we just wish them a very safe day every day. And it is interesting that they made a note in the article how the Maryland Public Service Commission was thrown through the loop when we asked them for a rate reduction, which in their history they had never been asked for. But they granted it, thank goodness. But each of the electric utility employees will get a copy of the magazine. It will be also on our website.
Yes.
And it's unique. It's unique and very gratifying. And I have to say, especially when I look back years ago, I don't think at one time, maybe for many years, our electric utility probably was not given the respect that they had earned. But I see a real difference. I get real, genuine compliments regularly about all of our departments, but particularly we get compliments about our electric utility folks. It's extraordinarily rewarding, and I'm glad to see that you got this national recognition. Thank you.
Thank you.
And the other thing I just want to mention is that we are being cited as an example again by the United States Department of Agriculture, the Rural Development Program. The head of their Maryland and Delaware director came down back in early August and basically had a very cordial interrogation about what we're doing in Berlin, and because we are being recognized as a rural community that is, you know, succeeding on many fronts. And the reason they wanted to do that is that they can see their own mission is changing, the changing times. Historically, they've been thought of as a place you go to get grants and loans. Pretty stuffy, pretty dry. But what they're getting into is they want to have more influence and to help rural communities have a game plan to know what works, what's working in other places, share it. So they they asked questions in a very, very nice way for 2.5 hours, and I did my best to answer them. And what came out of it was a memo or summary that they put together. I didn't write it. And it's called Attributes of a Successful and Thriving Rural Community.
and what they asked then was our permission to be able to share this with all the folks in Washington and to take it to every state throughout the country and say, folks, here's one example, and they're hoping to get other communities throughout the country that basically, let's face it, are biting the board and saying, you know, past is past, the present is an opportunity, in the future is just filled with lots of good things when we work together. So I think that's, you know, it took a long time for a lot of people, and I'm just fortunate enough to happen to be here at the time when they're taking this message to so many communities, because at least part of my, you know, I generally believe, I think we all here believe, that part of the revitalization of America's economy will be smaller cities and towns. 20th century, they were this off. They pretty much were living off. But now I think the entire country is starting to recognize these are good places to live. Let's make them good places to make them. So I want to thank everyone in the council and certainly the citizens for making that happen. And that's
all. No, sir.
I just want to make one note to Tim that honestly I really believe that if the changes have been done with the electric department in the past 8 years that were made and under your leadership, I don't think we would have physically been able to been capable of generating 22 times.
Very good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, thank you.
I keep harping on this and I don't want us to forget about it, because there is a problem there. It's Cannery Village. At the entrance of Cannery Village, there's a problem, and I know that they have one more coating on the street, a blacktop. And where the problem is, it's on our street that existed before they started. And I don't want them to come and blacktop the portion of Canterbury Village that is Canterbury Village without correcting our street. That was okay before they came.
Yeah, no, that's definitely on the list of things that we're talking to them about. At one point, they expressed interest in not paving around the lift station and maybe taking that, the value of that, and applying it to the patch on Flower Street. Then they looked at it more closely and they said, well, you know what, we were never supposed to pave around the lift station anyway, so never mind, we'll take that off the table. They know it's an issue. We have pressed it with them several times. This is one of several issues that we have with them. Now that Dave's back, he and I'll be meeting tomorrow to talk about the outstanding issues. They have not asked for a final inspection yet, and we still have your mark on money. So,
let's hope it doesn't come to this, but if it does, we can use that bond money to make those repairs.
I think we need to make those repairs, because this has been going on for a really a long time, and it is still a terrible spot, and it remains a terrible spot. And yes, I keep hearing about we're talking to these people. That's all well and good, but the fact still remains: when folks run over that spot, it is damaging their vehicles, and it's not a good thing for our citizens to have to endure day after day after day. I say we need to get it fixed. We need to get it fixed as soon as possible, because there comes a time when something has been going on long enough, and this has been going on long enough.
I was trying to give them the benefit of the doubt, because I know that road has to
be paid. They've had the benefit.
Paid one more time, but I'm like Dean, the number of school buses that cross over that.
And fall and winter get ready to come, it's only going to get worse.
It gets worse every day, the more traffic.
Another question. Can we just proceed? I mean, we haven't been putting this
on. I'd have to look at the bond. I think we would have to put the insurance company on notice. We just can't go spend our money, fix it, and then say send us a check. That's not the procedure.
Do it by consensus agree that we want between David and Laura to put the pedal to the metal on what, any legally viable way to get this done. Is that a fair summary?
Do you need a motion?
I'd like to make a motion
that Laura and Dave work with Cannery Village as soon as possible to find out when they're going to make the corrections and the repairs to this road.
No, that's not what the motion should be.
Okay, well, what should
we do?
I'd like to move that the town of Berlin proceed with all haste and having that spot repaired by whatever means necessary.
I mean, Dave, normally, if it's a town street, it's something that's pretty much, you go in, you do the line, you do all your work, and you fix it, you get at it. Now, one thing, if you got a bond that's on your project on the inside, I'm sure they don't have a bond for that portion of the road.
I'd have to look at it. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, either way, I know that you guys would make me do it.
You were wild back.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Brill that essentially says that we instruct the town administrator, town attorney, and all of our other department heads to do whatever is necessary to have the public road that is adjacent to the entrance of Cannery Village repaired and brought up to the standards of the town with all haste.
And their damages. They're repairing their expense.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you all.
I don't have a pick.
Yes, sir. You sure? Okay, do we have any comments from anyone or any questions or anybody that wants to bring anything before the band counts among them? Any of the folks who are here tonight? Do we have any comments, questions from the press? We stay adjourned. Thank you so much for attending and for your patience.
I mean, I'm going to buy an hour later.